97.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, 1 hour down as we're here on a Thursday getting ready for Bills and Texans coming up at Reliance Stadium on Sunday. Let's hear from somebody who has been talked about all offseason. CJ, the offensive line, and Nick Caley has been right there. Let's hear from the offensive coordinator about this game coming up against the Bills as he meets with the media.
Looks a little bit different. What have you liked from their growth throughout training camp to now?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with just the toughness, the attention to detail, and they've all gotten better. I mean, we've had really good competition dating back to the spring and then through training camp. So they love football, and you know, they're all improving, and they all embrace each other, and they're all trying to help each other out, and the communication's been good too. So I've been really pleased across the board with those guys.
We've heard from offensive linemen, CJ, wide receivers about identifying the mic this year, how much easier it is, how they're getting to it. Was that something that didn't go well last year? Is that something that's difficult? It's come up a few different times from a few different players.
Yeah, I think there's been a focal point on it. I wouldn't say that was a fatal flaw last year by any stretch. I think we could have done a much better job across the board of just being more vocal, over-communicating those things so that we're all on the same page so everybody's tied together on those things. And it's been that was a focal point in the spring, carried over to training camp. So they've done a much better job of just, hey, there's no secrets. Let's be vocal. Let's enhance our communication and walk-through settings to make it as game-like as we can so that we're all on the same page. Because things move. You might move a target based on rotation, based on front structures and stuff like that. And it's been a focal point for us, but for all the right reasons. And they have been. We've been better at that. So there definitely has been improvement, this year so far.
Hey, Nick, can you talk about D'Amico talks about how excited you were. Like yesterday he said, man, he is ready to go. He's barking. He's excited. I'm excited to see him. What is that level of excitement from you, and what is it based on collectively?
Well, I like to think I love football, and I like being out there with the guys on the grass. I'm probably a little high energy by nature. But I just enjoy being out there. I love what we do. I love the opportunity to get an opportunity to work here and work with these guys. And every day is an opportunity to go out and try to get better. And that's all we're trying to do. So I have fun doing that and have fun, put a smile on my face and have some, volume every once in a while.
Is it more this year because it's year two? I'm sorry, Greg. Good. Is it more because it's year two? Do you have another level of...
I've tried to stay consistent with those things. You learn from year one to year two. You grow like in anything else. But in terms of just going out there with enthusiasm and trying to be detailed and trying to hold people to the standard, starting with myself and everybody else, like, I don't think that standard really has ever tried to change. You just continue to try to learn from your experiences, move forward, tell the truth, and work your ass off to be the best you can be.
People have had high praise for what CJ's done all off season. What's the key to carrying over the good work in training camp?
Just stick to the process. He's had a great process. Stick to that. Be consistent. Never too high, never too low. And just take it, be totally present where you are. Take it one step at a time. And just be consistent with the process.
Go ahead, DJ. Follow on Cody's question, what's kind of like that balance of, obviously you want to communicate who the mic is and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of that balance in, sometimes almost over-communicating a defense, being able to kind of use your indicators of who you think, they're identifying as a mic and trying to use that against them? What's kind of like that balance? Well, that's not something you have to worry about much.
I would say this. There's different targets for different runs, so it's not like every time we're pointing to a certain guy that's where necessarily we're going to. It transcends really all scheme, all situations. We'll move the points at times, depending on certain things, whether it's pass protection, whether it's run game related. So the biggest thing is, being able to be loud, being confident, being vocal so that we can at least make sure we're all on the same page. Because for different plays, it affects different things, right? And it's not always verbal communication. It's nonverbal communication, too, whether we're trying to signal something, whether we're trying to adjust something for an extended player on the perimeter, et cetera. But I think just overall, better communication never hurts you. You're on the same page, and we're tied together.
You're listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley right here on 95.7 The Fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got experience. Saw obviously the preseason structurally. We have experience playing against some of the guys. They have good players. They have good guys. You start with the front. You look at Rousseau, who shoot back when I years back when I was in the division with them. He was a young player coming out, long. You look at Chubb, stout, tough, physical guy. Obviously highly decorated coming out. He's had a good career. like Michael Hoyt on the edge. I was with him in L.A. Good, very smart, very heady. Ed Oliver inside. And they've got good players on the front. You got, you know, you look at Bernard and go just go to the second, go to the third level on the perimeter. They've got good players. They've always been, you know, just a really disciplined team. Jim Leonard has always been known for that. He's a really good coach. So I mean, they got a good, tough, physical defense. And I believe that you know they're gonna be ready to go just like we are. You know,
how does one like over communication and all that? Is it kind of like the bare minimum? How do you judge a good communicator before you actually play a game?
Yeah, you leave no doubt. It's not like we're up there having 12 sentences at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you're sitting there just being assertive, getting up there, getting your feet in the ground, making your calls, communication. So let's just pull it back. Sorry, I got ahead of myself there, Landry. Let's just start in the huddle, all right? Getting in and out of the huddle, me getting the call in, quarterback getting it to the skill guys, us breaking, knowing where we're supposed to be, and then going up there and whatever each play entails, being able to set the deck and go and be able to be on the same page. And I don't think, again, being honest, I don't think there was ever a glaring major issue. I think just from an operational urgency standpoint in general, that's in that bucket. We needed to be better at all those things, and we continued to stress that all offseason, really.
Call the play, is it on the quarterback to be the one to communicate?
He has the headset, so he gets it to the skill guys, but it's on everybody to be able to get up there and get ready to go and have urgency to go. Yeah, we're all in it together, man.
There could be a potential lineup with Ursary and Rutledge playing together. What is the learning curve for two young players like that when you have a second-year player and a rookie, you know, protecting your quarterback's blind side?
Yeah, well, I think they've both done. I think every player is a little different. You know, every situation can be a little different. Keelan's done a really good job. Ariante did a good job last year. Played a lot of football for us. He really did and got better throughout the year. So those guys have been, you know, working hard. And, you know, I don't see any glaring issues in terms of, you know, if there's a fundamental thing like all players have at times, you know, shoot, we got to get better here or there. But those guys have worked hard. And I think it's time on task. It's continued to get reps. It's putting those guys into situations. And there's growth in that.
Can you talk about Kayshon Boutte and what you've seen so far and how quickly you think you'll be able to get him in the mix?
He's done a good job. I mean, he got right to work when he got here. You know, he's going out there, no limitations in terms of moving him around and stuff. He's done a good job since he's been here, worked really hard, studied, credit to him. He's done well.
When you look back at the tape from his time at Michigan to what you see at the end of training camp, what's been the biggest growth for Marlon Clyde?
I think just learning, you know, a different language, learning a different offense. You know, Michigan, he got to do a lot of, I would say he had a lot on his plate at Michigan relative to some of the things, especially in the run game, what they would do. But I just think the details of things overall and being able to process those. And he's got a really good room of veterans to you know, and James does a great job with those guys, but to look at and model the way for those guys. So I think just, you know, acclimating him to himself to our system in the spring and then being able to build off that and getting exposure as we've progressed through training camp. And he's gotten better every step of the way.
As you talk about going from year one to year two, you mentioned, you know, you learn things and you grow like in every aspect of life. What's kind of like that mental and emotional aspect for you personally as far as, you know, going out there and showing, not for critics or anything, but for yourself, hey, you know, the improvement that you want to show, the growth, and just, you know, what you can provide to this offense as
Yeah, I just think just trying to be at my best and being prepared and being able to give my best like I've always tried to do. So moving forward, you know, you learn, you grow, and then you have an application to those things. So that hasn't really changed. That's been my mindset every step of the way. I'm always trying to get better, and it's what we ask of our guys. It's what I'm going to ask myself every single day.
From your perspective, obviously both are very important, but, you know, obviously sliding scale, but the differences between game planning and calling plays, obviously both are very important, but obviously, you know, you don't just want to call plays, just call plays, but, you know, want to have a game plan to make sure the plays fall along with that. What's kind of like that balance of trying to figure out which one per week is kind of more important to just give you the best shot to call the best game?
Yeah, you try to set the table the best that you can, okay, relative to the structures you're going to see, the personnel that you're going to face from each opponent, and you put forward the best plan that you can to be able to, you know, go up and compete against those guys and putting our guys in position to be at their best for what we're trying to see. So you're trying to find the best overall, I would say, structures for us. In the game, there's different flows. There's ebbs and flows of games. You got to be willing to move on. You got to be willing to adjust and do different things, sometimes sooner rather than later. But every game has different situations that pop up. Not every game's the same, so you got to be ready to be able to adjust and do different things. You lose a player, you're out of a grouping, et cetera. You got to get into something else. So I think each week's a little different there, DJ. But I would say that you start with a framework, and then you know that, hey, you could adjust off of that or have to alter it, you know, depending on what you're seeing in that game or situation.
Osorio and Jake have both been pretty open about center play needing to be better this year. Jake's still here, and you have Evan now, who's had limited center experience recently. Are you confident in the improvement of center play this year?
Yeah, I am. They've done a good job. They're smart. They're tough. They work hard. So I think it's been great to have Jake here, too, in year two. It's another year in the system for us. He brings just a real steady guy, sharp guy, tough guy. And then Evan's the same way. They're kind of wired the same way. So I think that position really, it touches everybody. You know, and you value the communication from that position, obviously, at the focal point of everything. But they've done a really good job. And you think even Keelan, like, you know, the guy's played guard, played center, has flex. So, like, there's some carryover that pushes on out and extends out that way, too, which is also positive. But I think it's good for everybody. And I've been pleased with the progress that they made. I really have.
You're listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley right here live on 95.7 The Fan.
Bring a little something different. Jonathan, they all it gives us opportunities to be, you know, more diverse from a personnel standpoint. So some weeks that'll be maybe more than others, some weeks not. But, you know, last year, you know, we lost Kate early on, and we, you know, had, call it Dalton, and had a great year, fought his ass off for us. We got some guys that can, you know, give us some different groupings potentially and do some different things. So I like the group. I do. They're fun to work with. You know, and it's been good to see all their growth along the way too, all of them, really.
The crossover with Montgomery and Marks and what they can do, and then what's the uniqueness that each of those guys has that you can kind of call plays to?
Yeah,
them?
I would say this. I really enjoy having both of them because both of them are really good players. Demo has been a great addition to our team. And they can do, really, there's not really, like, they can play on all three downs. And I think, you know, you look at Woody last year, his growth early on in the season, and then just continuing to, he turned into a pretty damn good pass protector. I mean, really, he really did a great, and that's hard to do for a rookie. You know, there's a handful of them that play in the league, I would say, as a rookie on third down a lot, and end up playing a lot. So he grew a lot. Then you get David, who's done it all for, you know, a considerable amount of time. So the one thing I really like about these guys is they complement each other extremely well, but you can roll, and they both can go in there. You know, Demo's out, and he needs a blow. Woody's in there, and we can roll. And that's, you don't have to change a whole lot because they're both really, really good in terms of their feel in the run game. Woody's made a ton of improvement from year one to year two. David's been so steady since he's gotten here. And then in pass protection, it's a trust deal, and it's an understanding where your eyes need to be. And then the physicality to be able to technically go up and fit the windows and actually put a hat on a hat on whether it's internal, external blitzers. And both of those guys can do that. And Danny Barrett's done a really good job with them. So I have a lot of confidence in both of them. And that's what excites me the most is, you know, we can roll and they enjoy playing. And you don't have to really change wholeheartedly, like, okay, now we've got to be heavy this way because they're both trained to be able to do it all, and they've done a good job of that.
And how do you see Jalen Knowles' role in terms of the start? One thing that D'Amico talked a lot about in the spring was wanting to be able to use him more than his rookie year.
Yeah.
Where do you see that now that he's healthy?
Yeah, I think just continuing to, you know, obviously start plays a lot more inside, but we have the ability to move him outside the formation. He can obviously, you know, he's got great speed, but really he's done a good job of working throughout the spring of just being able to also have some feel for the first and second levels too. So it's not just, okay, everything's got to be down, you know, and I think he's grown a lot from that standpoint. I just think another year having an off season to come in here and be able to grow in that world and be put into different positions has helped not just him, a lot of guys, but him for certain, since you're asking about him. But I think that's the biggest thing, and just staying consistent and continuing to improve, man.
When you were emphasizing earlier about the pre-snap communication,
yep,
and what the process has been like this off season, what ways have you seen it improve? If there's, you know, tangible things, okay, we got better at this or that when it comes to pre-snap.
Yeah, I just think the urgency at which we're getting back to the, like, okay, on the practice field, we're getting in the huddle much faster. We're getting back from plays faster. There's a mindfulness and an urgency and I would say it's important. I mean, it's been a focal point for us to get in the huddle, get in a tight huddle, listen to the quarterback, break, get our feet set, and really allow us to have more time at the line of scrimmage. So that's been there, cleaner in terms of just eliminating some of the, you know, obviously we're not in the season, but like trying to eliminate a lot of the pre-snap BS that we had to go through. We don't need that. And that starts with, I think, getting out of the huddle faster, getting our feet set and being able to operate and not feeling like you're fighting the clock. That's the biggest thing. And I've seen a good amount of growth there. And then playing cleaner, you know, under just a deeper dive in the intent of what we're doing, being able to go out and execute, you know, at a cleaner rate. And it's been a steady, it's been just steady progress. I've been proud of those guys.
What's some of the growth that you've seen from wide receivers, Xavier Hutchinson and Jared Wayne?
Yeah, I mean, they've both grown a lot. Hutch is, he's a hard hat guy. He goes to work, and so is Jay Wayne. And I think you saw Jay Wayne's had a really, really good offseason in general, and then you saw it in the preseason come to life, and he's been consistent. He's been out there, which has been you know, big for him, and been really proud of him. You talk about a guy that, you know, he's had to work really hard to get to the point where he is right now, and you know, I'm happy for him. And same with Hutch. Talking about a self-made guy that just continues to work and takes coaching and loves football, and he's an unselfish teammate. And if you take coaching and you work hard and, you know, you love the game, I you know, both those guys do, I think you have a chance to continue to improve. And that's a testament to those guys.
All right, that's the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, as he speaks to the media. A lot said there, a lot of mixed thoughts here on the text line, YouTube and Twitch as well, about Nick Caley. And I know Nick Caley is always one of the ones that you really pay attention to what he's got to say. I want to hear your thoughts. Anything jumped out on you on the other side as we continue right here live on The Drive? We'll react to Nick Caley as this is a big game for him. Everybody talks about Stroud. This is a big start for him in year two of this offense. A lot of people expect this to be a major improvement. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, boy. I just don't believe Tyler, did you really text that to him?
I really did, but it was relevant that day to a conversation they were having where they mentioned Kraken. I didn't just like randomly like, "Hey, what up, Kraken?"
I don't know if that's what you, I didn't know that's how you, if that's what you said, "What's up to you guys?" Maybe you and Clint, you text Clint that, or Blaine or somebody. You
saw my that. Go-to usually.
Is that your go-to?
No, I'm more likely to be like, "What up, Turbo," or "Chief," or "Big Guy."
Not Turbo. Yeah. I just hadn't heard, I didn't know that was your normal.
I don't like the fact that you put Chief in the middle of Turbo and Big Guy.
Oh, I didn't mean anything personal by that.
I'm just telling you.
My bad. I didn't mean anything personal you by that. I like the way you say Chief.
I'm going to be honest.
Like, I'm a kick-a-poo.
Turbo's the first one for me. I don't think I've heard that. I don't think I've heard.
Oh, immediate disrespect.
Yeah, I don't, that's what.
What's
it
up,
is.
Turbo?
Yeah, immediate. Like you're being a smart mouth and you're trying to get under my skin. If that's okay. If you're all calling right. me Turbo,
it's just like Big Guy,
kind of like my Playboy.
Yes, that one too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bub.
Yeah, Bub.
Bub, not so much.
Yeah. That, yeah, I feel like that's dual.
All right, just silly goose.
All right. Well, if you're ready for more Tylerisms, Tyler's turtle is coming up here in just a bit. But we just heard from the offensive coordinator. And I know for you, like Nick Caley is somebody that you jump out to really kind of hear to try to get in the mind of maybe what we're going to look at for the overall with this offense. He said a lot of things there, talked about a lot of different things from the offensive line to CJ to Kayshon Boutte. What jumped out to you heading into this game?
Well, I think the big piece is, and I'm tired of hearing about it, to be honest with you, but it's real, is how much he talks about communication and how much he's asked about communication. Shout out to the media members that are there that are asking the follow-up questions, because they're really good follow-up questions, trying to dig and get what exactly he means. But I'm exhausted with the communication stuff. Like, at some point around here offensively, we got to get beyond that.
Well, hopefully we see them in the game coming up, and we see them at the start of the season, and that's not a talking point of them or us being able to see it when we talk about it.
Well, the more it sticks around, the more you realize it's just it may be a personnel problem and not a execution or process problem. You know, maybe there's somebody involved that can't communicate. And so that could be a major problem, but I think you talked about it three, maybe four times throughout that lengthy press conference there. So Yeah, I think that's the piece that, boy, I hope game one we get beyond that and the communication's great. We're not talking about getting out of the huddle. And, you know, the more they talk about last year, now that we're not in the middle of last year, the more, I mean, it's crazy to think how long it's taken them just to have some urgency getting in and out of the huddle and have some urgency identifying the mic. And the fact that that was such a problem last year, and I know it was year one, but you see a lot of year one guys that can at least get in and out of the huddle. So it's crazy how the things they struggled with last year, but hopefully again this year it's off the, they don't struggle with it and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in on this, please, as well. The game is Sunday, right? We're up against it. A couple more sleeps until the first game of the year.
Yes!
Do you feel better? Honestly, do you feel better about, I don't know if Tyler is shaking it off as a no before I get it out, but maybe he was shaking something else off. Do you feel better about Nick Caley and the architect of the offense going into this game now? Are you, like, everything that has occurred, because as it ended, again, a lot of people felt a certain way about him at the end of the season. Now we've gone through OTAs and mandatory minicamp and training camp and preseason games. Are you at a place where you're feeling better about Nick Caley going into this game?
No, I'm unmoved.
You're still waiting. You're still about, I got to see.
Yeah, I'm unmoved. I mean, I don't. Nick Caley can talk the game. Nick Caley can put a playbook together. I mean, he's been around some great offenses, some great offensive minds. I don't in any way, shape, or form concern myself with that. It's the. You know, can you coach a quarterback, your system, and have him know it like the back of his hand and execute it on the field? You know, in the moment, can you know when to call what plays and how to take advantage of what matchups? And can you truly wrap your offense around your players and their strengths kind of deal? You know, to me, those are the concerns, and we won't know any of that until we see rubber meets the road and they're actually playing games.
Yeah. I do think they've had a good offseason and a good camp, but it is always in the back of your mind of, all right, let's see when teams are actually trying to game plan and stop them.
Yeah.
What that looks like and how they adjust to it. Because, again, it has felt good. I do feel like in some spots the personnel is improved, especially up front in the offensive line. The tight end room is not depleted like it was to start the season, and so maybe they are able to do more of the things that they wanted to do. But it does feel like, yeah, everything I'm seeing in training camp could be something. But I got to see it on the field. I've got to see what it looks like when you adjust. I've got to see what it looks like for you to put together a game plan. And as you said, will we see CJ? Can you get us to see CJ at his best? Yep. Can you get us to see Nico at his best? Can you exploit mismatches? And I think that will come when we actually get to see them on the field against teams, and it starts against Buffalo.
Well, he just has so – it's such a group effort offensively. It's – you know, he obviously has nothing to do with the roster building, or the supporting cast, or the lack thereof, however you want to couch it. He's not the one that's saying, hey, I'm not going to build around my quarterback. It's not about one guy. That has nothing to do with him. So when you look at Nick Caley, the only way I think is fair to judge – you know, what he's doing is on game day and in that moment where, hey, bud, it's on you. You know, what do you have dialed up on, you know, this year in the red zone to fix some of those problems? You know, what are you, this run game that we have been beat over the head with, that we're going to be better running the football, you know, how are you going to get that accomplished? And again, it'll be Sunday afternoon when we watch what Nick Caley's got planned.
Yeah, Sage on YouTube, Caley and the offense remain the biggest question marks until proven otherwise. Someone texted in, I just don't trust Nick Caley at all. I'm afraid we're going to lose Nico due to the offensive philosophy that Caserio is trying to impose on the team. Nico wants targets. I think the Texans won't be an appealing destination due to the offensive culture. I don't get that from Nico.
Like, he just signed an extension, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't get. I mean, I think he, I think he is. I mean, we talked about it before during the offseason. I hope he kicks up a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't want him to go, you know, reading or listening to audiobooks on the sideline. But I'd like for him to kick up a little bit. Like, hey man, bring this ball over here. I don't care about no double teams. Move me around. All right, coming up, Tyler's turd list. If you don't know about the turd list, then you don't want to miss this treat. The biggest turds of the sports week. Who's got the bronze? Who's got the silver? Who's got the gold? We'll do that coming up next.
The Drive is live.
Microphone testing.
Oh, yeah, Houston. It's that time of week where we shine a spotlight on some of the biggest boneheads in sports. From dumb penalties to clown behavior to straight-up silly meltdowns, we're not letting them off the hook. It's T-Mill's Turds of the Week on The Drive.
All right, baby, T-Mill, Tyler's turd list. Shout-out to the originals, the births of this. Garrett Cole, James Harden,
ding.
Steph Curry, shout out to them.
Ding.
They're the all-timers, gold, silver, and bronze. But for this week, who holds the bronze? Tyler Milner.
Yeah, those fellas are like the Mount Rushmore
Absolutely.
Of turds. That's well said. And if you're new to this, by the way, here on The Drive, Sterner, Hughley, Milner with you. You heard the voice, guy. We're pointing out turd-like behavior or actions around the world of sports. Every week, we police it. We take care of it. We got it. Bronze turd this week. It's kind of a first for T-Mill's turds because I'm not really sure who deserves this bronze turd. I'm not sure who's responsible, really, at the end of the day. But we have not had, ironically, anywhere to put our turds for 5+ months-ish. Up here at 95.7 The Fan, up at our office, we've had a lot of renovations and stuff going on. It's normal. We got people moving in, and there's a lot of work, and I get that.
They look lovely.
But we have not been able to use toilets on our floor at work in like 5 months, and I just think that's ridiculous. I got a bad knee, man. I'm tired of going up and down the stairs to use the bathroom. If you want to go try to take a dookie in our bathroom, you don't have doors. I just need somebody to get the plumbing at my place of work operating, functional. Who is to blame here? Is it the plumbers? Is it the contractors? Is it the building?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's over my head. But they have made us have to make a hike up to the to the 20th floor.
Go skydiving in a different way.
There have been some close calls.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if anybody that was handcuffed this place for 4 months a day, I mean 4 hours a day, if they were making the decisions, that bathroom would have been made a priority.
That's well said. That's well said.
But it looks lovely, and it is going to be an amazing place.
Look at him
to drop through.
He don't even let you just put that turd on him. He's gonna shine it up.
We're trying to put that turd. We're trying to put our own turd out. Is what we're trying to do.
Ron's been watching that HGTV or something.
I do, man. I'd like to get a shot at them doors.
Little tongue in cheek, but the bronze turd this week is to whoever's responsible because, ironically, we cannot do anything with our turds, so you get the bronze turd, whoever you are. Give us some bathrooms. 5 months! 5 months, man.
Well done, T. Thank you.
Yes, yes. See if that PSA gets any movement on the porcelain thrones in there. Silver turd here on The Drive. This is T-Mill's Turds of the Week around the sports world. We police them, we find them, we bring them to you. This was a late entry, but it needs to happen. If you missed it, you could have heard this very call last night. right here on 95.7 The Fan, courtesy of the great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Take a listen.
It's 3rd and 14. Patriots at the 22. Shotgun snap. Long line drive down the middle. Intercepted. Picked up by Love. Another interception. Seattle's got the ball. Seattle's got the ball. Drake May has just thrown his second half interception.
A few moments later.
If you're Drake May, you've got to be smart. Patriots down by 3. 26 seconds to go. Shotgun snap to May. Moved out of the pocket. Throws a pass. End zone. Intercepted in the end zone. Seattle is picked off May. They've done it again. The defense of Seattle has done it again. Drake May has thrown his third interception in this quarter, and he was inbounds in the end zone, and Seattle is going to win it.
This guy stinks.
Yes, Drake May did stink last night. That was the kickoff to the entirety of the NFL season for 2026, and my man went out there and did something so rare. It's happened maybe twice in the last 8 seasons. 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter for Drake May is going to get him the silver turd of the week right there.
Yeah, that got away from him. Yeah, that was tough for Drake. That was tough. I believe, is that Kurt Warner working with a...
You like that part, yeah.
Oh, man, Kurt just said, hey, man, he has got to be smart.
He's got to be smart here.
And I mean, and Drake turned and took the snap and yelled to Kurt, said, no, I don't!
Watch this! Throws a jump ball to Mac.
It was a disaster. It was a disaster for the Patriots and for Drake May. It's going to get him the silver medal. Did you know? A lot of us know Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Patriots. He used to be a player. He was a linebacker. He played defense in the NFL.
He misses her so much.
Last night, Drake May, in one quarter of a football game, threw the same amount of interceptions that matches Vrabel's career high within one season. He got 3 picks in 2006 as a linebacker for the Patriots. Drake May eclipsed that or matched it just last night, so that gets him the Silver Turd Award.
It's just one game.
Yeah, it's just one game, but that one's going to hurt a little while. You're going to fill that one downstairs for the weeks to come, I think. Gold Turd, if you're with us on YouTube and or Twitch, you will see it in my hand. It is glorious. It is an honor to receive this.
This is the big one.
Way.
Here's the big one.
This one was easy for me from... coming out of the weekend, I kind of knew this was going to be the golden turd unless something crazy happened. College football underway, and the Michigan Wolverines and their fans out here embarrassing themselves.
Will it be a Bryce Underwood magical moment to throw away the hopes of the Broncos? On third down, deep drop, going to unload it towards the end zone, into the crowd, and he's caught! J.J. Buchanan, touchdown! Michigan Stadium!
Yes, that was a Hail Mary at the buzzer that gave Michigan the win over Western Michigan. And these fools rushed the field. That is embarrassing.
You already know how I feel about that.
Yes, and I'm with you. That is ridiculous. You are a great program. You are a blue blood. You have all of that on your resume, and your fans are out there making you look stupid rushing the field whenever you have to win a game like that against a lesser opponent. I think it's embarrassing. They should all be embarrassed. They get the golden turd of the week up in Michigan.
Well, even worse was the announcer, who's a little Lion Eagle.
Eagle Jr.
Yeah, Noah Eagle. Noah Eagle, he's on there talking about, yeah, you normally don't look at a team like Michigan storming the field, but you completely understand it on this occasion. No,
oh,
you do
crap.
Not. No, I would have said, I'd have gone home. I'd have been out of there. I wouldn't even have been able to see the finish. Y'all can kiss my ass.
No. Absolutely. It was embarrassing.
That's the hill y'all going to walk out there and perform.
That is what a good testament to them, though. They that many people stuck around?
That's true. That's a cool part.
I'll be honest,
they should have just
you.
Stayed their asses in the stands whenever they want it.
Our Arkansas is no Michigan. We left.
If y'all was playing Arkansas State and it was...
If Northern Alabama, if that game would have been... Hell, half people left anyway. If that game would have been 12-7 or 12-6, whatever the score was, and we're throwing a Hail Mary, yes, there would not have been
your second one.
There would not have been that many people there to witness it. You're right.
Yeah, that was. They are stupid for that.
Absolutely. So the Wolverines, Michigan, they are the big Golden Turd winner. And by the way, listeners out there, you guys too. I want your honorable mentions for turds this week. If you have any listeners, you can always text in 713-572-4610 with your turds of the week. Let me know.
I would like an honorable mention to Greg Sankey in the SEC. I think their feelings got hurt. And they took this stuff a little too far with Lane and LSU. I think their feelings got hurt. They fooled around and got themselves real good mad because he said in passing at the end of the interview, what if we had, just imagine if we had pro players. And now they came in Monday morning with it's putting their hog on the table for no reason. He didn't even put the players on the team.
Right.
They didn't put them on the roster. Trying to find a way to get them pushed out of the SEC.
That's stupid. A good one.
Yeah. What word do they use? Expulsion?
Expulsion. Yeah,
like that. That is I rolled my eyes at that part of it.
They did. They're trying to do it after they filled the roster, which they cannot put them on there. Like they waved a white flag. Who cares how Lane did it?
Sankey and the SEC are letting a troll do what trolls do. You got to guard against that.
Yeah. Text line coming through saying Texas A&M would have done the same thing against UTEP.
No, really, 100% can tell you that is not accurate. At least I believe it to be that way.
I also have
a little more pride than that.
I have an additional honorable mention. The Kansas State Wildcat mascot. I can't remember. He's something the Wildcat. Willie the Wildcat, I believe, is his name.
Is he the one doing push-ups?
Yes, he does push-ups, and he does push-ups every time they score touchdowns. And
this was what I was looking at for the.
And if they score 21 points, he's got to do 21 push-ups following
right.
the. Yeah,
right.
So they scored 71.
Oh boy!
And he had to do, I believe, 394 push-ups by the end.
Hundreds.
Of it. And he could. And he's on the board. And you got to watch the video. And he could. And he could. He couldn't get it down. And then he just started doing half ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he had to do 71 straight.
No, he had to do.
He was
he had to do 71 straight at the end. But that was at the end
after
of
doing every touchdown.
But every touchdown, he does them all the way.
The total, yeah, the score total.
Yeah,
that mascot's arms were 394. Noodles.
But you know, he came down and just started doing halves. So Willie the Wildcat.
That's a really good one. He needs to work with Toro or something.
Come on,
Toro Town.
Yeah, Toro wouldn't have done that.
Toro Town.
Toro would have been ready for all of them.
Hell yeah, he's swole.
There was a couple of touchdowns and then immediate pick sixes to where he had, like, there wasn't a lot of time for him to regroup. He had to get right back on the horse and get back on.
You can tell them are barely able to hold him.
He was dead. He was dead. All right, what you got coming up?
Greg Cosell, one of the best in terms of analyzing film. He did a little deep dive, a little detailed study on C.J. Stroud. What does he expect Buffalo to do against our quarterback number 7? We'll discuss next.